entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Layer Adams with you during Drive Time on your Monday afternoon. Hey, was it so bad? Look, you made it through the start of the work week, and you got a lot done. Maybe not everything, but pat yourself on the back. You got a great start. Words of praise and encouragement from the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, and live from the Mercury Free Studio. Hey, guys, I got a poem for you. Hillary Dickory Dock, your political career is a crock. You've angered nearly everyone and think you'll win because you're a Clinton. But the truth is, your nomination is not a lock. Listeners, this woman is a lesson for us all. You can't create non-existent things in your life without it catching up with you. And these people, they're fixated on it. Now, when lying becomes second nature, truth is always second place. Then it's addictive. Now, our host is addicted to squashing liberal fantasies. Christopher Hart!
All right. Thank you so very much, Larry Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this fine summer Monday. And that's right, summer is here. It officially came in sometime Saturday, but it is here. And we are feeling it today. So hope you enjoy the show. That's right. That was Larry Adams. I am Christopher Hart. And we're joined in the studio by our intern, Lucas the Shooter Perry. And he's shooting us up on Ustream.tv. So you can see us as well as hear us at Ustream.tv. Or old Larry's Hammond for the camera, which he does so very well. Or you can go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, where we're linked up there. Nicholas Cicero's on the bridge tonight, so we are in good hands. Our man, and Abe Katzman should be checking in here shortly from Jerusalem. We've got a lot to talk about with Abe. And our executive producer, Nostradamus, is going to be checking in later on, too, with some very, I consider, very troubling stories. Mass graves found in the United States. Yeah, we'll be talking about that later with Nostradamus. On AM 660, The Answer, the American Adversaries in Drive Time, of course, come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call my friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. Now, that's Dr. James E. Hardy's phone number, but I want you to get your phone out and get ready, because all this week we are going to be giving away copies of the brand new book that I'm sure most of you have already heard at least excerpts of, or people talking about, Blood Feud, The Clintons versus the Obamas, that has been written by Ed Klein. Now, Ed's been on our show before.
Oh, yeah.
He writes excellent books. He's a best-selling author, a number of best-selling books. He's written about the Kennedys. I mean, this guy finds out things. He has contacts, let's just say, that evidently not a lot of other people have. It's let's just say, an explosive book with some explosive revelations about not just about the Clintons and the Obamas, but about their, let's just say, testy relationship with one another.
Nobody can think it's far-fetched.
No one does.
Nobody.
It has definitely the everlasting...
A Clinton or Obama supporter.
...ring of truth to it, right down to the Obamas calling Hillary Clinton by the nickname Hildebeest.
I wonder what she called Obama.
It's juicy stuff. Let's just put it that way. Now... As I said, we're going to be giving copies of this book away all week. Also, excerpts will be highlighted all this week at soundbiterx.com. Of course, we do the Soundbite News Minute at the bottom of the hour. You'll be able to go to Soundbite and get excerpts of the book. It is coming out this week. You will get an autographed copy of the book. All right, that's what we're being told, is that you will receive an autographed copy of the book. We will give one a day away on our Drive Time show this week. We're going to start today. Well, heck, let's just start right now. We're going to make it easy for you today. It'll simply be today only, because we'll come up with a little trivia question for the rest of the week.
You got to make it work for it.
For today, we'll just make you get to that phone and be the first caller at 407-774-8255 right now. 407-774-8255 right now. Put old Nick to work in there. Call us up. Give us your name and address, and this book will be put in the mail to you.
Chris, you got to make him say the alphabet backwards like they do when you're getting a DUI check. Come on. Come on now, make him do something.
Yeah, okay.
All right, folks, this is a great deal. Right. I mean, it's autographed.
It's a fantastic book. Now, as I said, we're going to have Ed on the show. Ed Klein was, I don't know if I said this, but Ed Klein's going to be on the show Thursday with us.
I wondered what day.
Yeah, Nostradamus has been working hard on it. That's the only day he had
Everybody
available.
Wants Klein right now,
Everybody
too.
Everybody wants this guy, and they're only going to want him even more as the excerpts of this book come rolling out.
You know what? I'll bet we're the only ones in Orlando. I don't know. I can't swear to that.
I certainly hope so. I know Ed's been on our show before, and we had a really good time interviewing him. And
the other guys won't get him, I'll bet.
That's right. So I see Nick's in there answering the phone, so if you're getting a busy signal, keep trying, but I can't promise. But we've got four more copies after today to give away. And the way we'll do it is we'll come up with a little trivia question. It'll have something to do with the Clintons and the Obamas. All right? And so who knows? We might even look in the excerpts of the book to find these factoids. But nonetheless, it is going to be a blockbuster of a book. There is no question. I can't wait till the movie comes out.
Now, Chris, you're not going to do anything crude like make it a contest where you have to identify what Bill Clinton's favorite cigar was.
No, we're not going to go into that
sort
of thing.
Okay, all right.
We'll keep it to...
I would, but that's just me.
We'll keep it to, you know, G ratings. But nonetheless, Blood Feud, the Clintons versus the Obamas. Now, if you don't get a copy of this book, you can get a free copy simply by subscribing to Town Hall Magazine.
Awesome.
It looks like our dear friend Sherry from Winter Springs
has won the book.
I hope that's Sherry. Is that Sherry from?
Sherry from Castleberry.
Well, it's Castleberry Winter Springs.
Okay.
So congratulations to Sherry. She jumped all over that, and I don't blame her one bit. She's going to have the best gossip in town to trade back and forth across her fence. All right, and once again, we'll be doing this all this week. So if you didn't win the book today, obviously you'll have a chance the rest of this week. And once again, don't forget Thursday. Put it on your calendar. Tell your friends. Ed Klein is going to be on our show to talk about Blood Feud.
And the Clintons and Obamas, they don't like each other one little bit.
And I'm just even more convinced than ever that Hillary's not going to run, especially after the the coal raking she's going to get. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Abe Katzman from Jerusalem, and you can join us too, 407-774-8255.
She is the best, too, folks. We are the American Adversaries. That's our gal, Sunny. Sunny from, what do they call themselves?
Glow Girls.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
That's right.
G-L-O-W. Anyway, Lara Adams here with Christopher Hart. And American Adversaries, of course, are the best in political professional wrestling. We're waiting right now to hear from our great friend Abe Katzman from Israel. Jerusalem, to be specific. And it looks like, by golly, we've got the guy that we all want to hear on the line right now. He just got through. Abe, thank you for joining us, sir. It's great to see you. I'd love to see you, but it's great to hear from you again.
Yeah, well, you could see us, Abe. We just can't see you.
So we'll act out like we're Abe. Like, well, when you talk, I'll make the motions.
What I mean by that is our intern, Lucas Paris, is in here, and he has us on Ustream.tv. So you can go to Ustream.tv and see the American adversaries in action.
So there are literally billions of people watching right now.
I don't know so much about that.
Okay.
But now that we have Abe Katzman on, I know a lot more people are listening, that's for sure. Hey, Abe, I was reading the New York Times this morning, and on the front page they did an article talking about the twisted tensions that have resulted from the kidnapping of these three Israeli teenagers. And how it's really sort of roiling things. First of all, they mentioned how the Israeli—I forget the word that they used—but the concentration of efforts in the West Bank has been the greatest that it's been in 10 years. But then also that it's roiling the brand new relationship between Abbas and Hamas. Can you confirm all that?
Well, that's pretty much what's been in the papers here also. The Abbas has come out under diplomatic pressure, at least, and condemned the kidnapping.
Yes.
Now, you'd think that condemning a kidnapping should not be that big a deal. But in this case, it is. Most of the Palestinian population, believe it or not, seems to be in support of the kidnapping. There have been, I mean, it's actually very disturbing. This might be the big story, is just how far apart the Israeli and Palestinian populations are. When you have a kidnapping, and instead of some kind of feeling of solidarity, the population on the other side is taking pictures, posting pictures online, holding up three fingers. Is it's the sort of a three-fingered salute.
They trophy.
Call it the three Shalits, referring to the kidnapping of Gilad Shalit, who was exchanged for over 1,000 Palestinian prisoners. There have been all kinds of statements in support of the kidnappers, but at the same time, there is a certain amount of tension because the kidnapping is believed to have been done by Hamas. And Hamas and Fatah already have their differences, even though they seem to have papered them over for the time being. But this may blow a hole in their agreement.
And certainly what Hamas has done, they are let me put it this way. They are not denying that they are behind the kidnappings, are they?
They have not denied it. They've actually praised the kidnapping itself. But they also have not taken credit for it. In fact, nobody has yet taken credit for it. There have been no demands made yet from anybody, which the Israeli military thinks is actually a good sign. They think that that might mean that the kidnappers were never able to get the boys into whatever hiding place they anticipated they would be holding them.
So they suspect that perhaps they may be able to find them.
They hope so. On the other hand, they keep making statements along the lines of how this is not going to be a short operation. They said right away that this was not going to be something that was going to be over in a matter of days. So this could drag out for a while.
Yeah, I see. Is the Israeli population behind the government, the way the government is handling this?
The Israeli population is overwhelmingly behind the government on this. The population is very unified. The population has been going to, there have been mass prayer rallies. There are social media campaigns. I mean, it's really something that has brought the country together. And this is, no matter what anybody's political affiliation is, having three boys kidnapped I think everybody recognizes that it could be anybody.
Yeah. Abe, I'm going to ask you a question here that's going to throw things in a different direction. But when I was a boy, I lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis. I lived here in Florida, went through all of that. And the whole idea that our lives could possibly be snuffed out at any time. And in my entire life, I've never questioned and felt so bad about my future than the world we live in today. And I got to wonder, how do Israelis feel about that? How does the average Israeli person living really in the midst of everything out there in the Middle East, how do they feel about their future? How do you feel about your future, sir?
There's kind of the Israeli paradox, I guess, which is that the Israelis are by nature a very optimistic people, that in the midst of all the chaos and the war, in the midst of the threats, I mean, there are 175,000 missiles pointed at Israel right now. And yet, I think that there's perhaps an appreciation of every moment of every day that goes by that is that where peace remains, or at least relative peace, the people seem to have an appreciation for life. And I don't know if that really answers the question, but it's there is, with all of these threats, I think it's just that Israel has gotten used to living this way for its entire existence. There have always been threats out there. Sometimes they flare up. Sometimes they look very, very bad. This is not the most ominous that things have looked. I mean, if Iran comes up with a nuclear weapon, we'll have a different discussion.
All right. Well, we're going to work our way toward that, but I want to go away, if I can, just for a moment from the kidnappings to what's going on in Iraq and Syria. We had Bibi Netanyahu on, I believe it was Fake the Nation yesterday morning. It was one of the Sunday morning talk shows. And he said, in terms of Iraq, and in particular, I believe he was talking maybe perhaps more about Syria, you know, when you have two enemies fighting against one another, why not just go ahead and let them do that and weaken one another in the process? If what's going on in Syria and Iraq were to spill over into Jordan, which I think is going to be the next place that these guys try to go, is the prime minister going to feel so comfortable with that strategy?
That is a really good question. I tend to agree with you that Jordan is the Jordanians should be getting very nervous. And the question will be, it'll be interesting at that point, what Israel would do. And in fact, for that matter, what America would do.
Yeah. If anything.
Well, we know what America won't do.
Yeah, we didn't mean to interrupt you. We didn't mean to interrupt you, but we're so disgusted with this president, we could hardly think he'd do anything. But
yeah, don't go there.
But anyway, please finish your point there, Abe.
Yeah. There, in all sorts of covert ways, it is believed that Israel has been propping up the Jordanian government for some time, and it'd be interesting to see if they would come out publicly and actually back the Jordanian government, and what that would mean in the wider Arab world, if there would be some kind of alliance between any of the Arab countries and Israel.
Well,
I don't know how it's going to play out, but that is something to worry about, is what happens to Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, because this group ISIS is now taking over border towns on both the borders of Jordan and Syria, and Jordan borders Syria, Iraq, and Israel. I mean, it's the next logical step for these guys, in my opinion. Must think that they're pretty weak right now, and especially when you consider the refugee problem that they have because of Syria and now Iraq as well. So I'd like to get your thought on this, though, Abe. We have another minute and a half in this segment, and then if you'll stay with us, I've got a few more questions for you.
Sure.
But to me, the wild card, I think, in this is Saudi Arabia. I know the king is going to visit Egypt, I believe, later this week. Is he going to make a swing through Jordan, too, and perhaps offer some support to the Jordanians? Or is that possible?
I don't know what's on his travel schedule, but you're right. They are getting very, very nervous about everything that's going on, both to their east and to their west. What they see going on in Iran, and what they see happening with these Islamists in Syria and Iraq, they are also getting very nervous, and I think they are going to do what they can to help what we always call the moderate Arab states. I don't know how moderate they always are, but they are relatively moderate compared to ISIS, that's for sure.
Yeah. Abe, we just have a few seconds left, so we'll go to the break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Abe Katzman. And by the way, folks, you can find his work, and it's great work, at abekatzman.com and also highlighted at soundbiterx.com.
And we are so blessed to have him with us. Folks, the American Adversaries will be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com. I'm going to tell you what's brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. But first, let me remind you, all this week, highlighted at SoundbiteRx.com, excerpts from the great new book, Blood Feud, by Ed Klein. The Obamas versus the Clintons. One thing I guarantee you about this book, it's going to sell a whole lot more copies than Hillary Clinton's new book. That's for sure. It's got some really juicy gossip and some really great facts that we need to know about these two families. All right, brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia is going to visit Egypt this Friday, and part of the reason is to, let's just say, provide support for the new president, al-Sisi, of Egypt, and certainly they seem to be the only ones who have the recipe that we all need to be employing in terms of how we deal with the likes of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Also, Jennifer O'Connor, remember that name. She is a former counsel to the director Werfel of the IRS. She is being subpoenaed by Daryl Issa and the House Oversight Committee in regard to the lost emails. She is now White House counsel, Jennifer O'Connor. That should be very interesting. Also, this brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. Did you know that there's a bipartisan bill that in the Senate was sponsored by Mean Gene Shaheen and our very own Marco Rubio to defund Hezbollah? I couldn't believe we're funding Hezbollah. They're a terrorist organization, for heaven's sake. And then finally this, and there's a lot more at SoundbiteRx.com today. The UN has selected, get this, Iran as the vice chair of the General Assembly. They will be able to set meetings and set the agenda for the meetings. Iran, of all countries. Don't forget, folks, you'll find all that brand new today and a whole lot more at SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. We're live. We're on AM 660, The Answer, and we are the American Adversaries. It is drive time, and we're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Lair Adams and Christopher Hart here, along with our man in Jerusalem, Abe Katzman, on the line. You can be a part of the show, too. You know the number, 407-774-8255. Just remember, all this week, yeah, every day, we're going to give away a free copy of Blood Feud, the great new book by Ed Klein. Before we get back to Middle East news, Abe, I just want to ask you, have you caught any of the excerpts of this new book?
I've read a little bit in the papers, and looks like it's a blast to read. It's just delicious seeing the feud between the two families.
And this has been quietly known, amongst people in Washington. People have known this.
It's kind of a joke.
They don't talk about it, right? So it's going to be fun to see the reaction as it comes out in the open. But we're definitely
they're going to fall all over each other now, trying to show how much in love with each other they are.
The adoration, you know they will. All right. Abe, I want to ask you about, John Kerry has been doing a little tour. By the way, do you happen to know, first of all, is he going to stop in Israel and perhaps provide the Israeli government an update on what he is doing and has maybe perhaps found out? But he goes to Iraq, and basically his and the president's strategy seems to be to try to scold Iraq into doing something that they evidently may not be capable of doing. What does the Israeli, let's just say, the media think about his efforts here?
I think they're watching with a certain detached amusement. I don't think there's a great deal of faith in the Secretary of State here in terms of his ability to cobble anything together that's going to be that effective. I'm amused, as somebody pointed out, that he's scolded the Iraqis for not being able to control their border.
Yeah. I'm telling you, and with what's going on our border here, and then the president the other day was scolding Maliki for not reaching out to the other side, and I thought, well, how many times has he ever reached out to the Republicans or the Tea Party or something, only to bash him in the teeth? I mean, they just have no moral authority to be saying these things, and it must be not only amusing to you, but it's got to be even more so to the likes of the leaders of ISIS.
I think they probably enjoy reading the papers.
No doubt. Let me ask you this question, Abe. Soundbite has got a story today where the UN has selected Iran as the vice chair of the UN. You know, Iranian diplomat as the vice chair of the UN. What does Israel think about that?
Well, it's the UN. Israel got used to this a long time ago. The UN seems to be there to cause Israel heartburn and to give America headaches.
The ultimate appeaser.
It really is a place where logic gets turned on its head, where you have things. I mean, you take a look at things like the Human Rights Commission there, where you have countries like Iran and Sudan. The worst offenders in the world when it comes to human rights, when it comes to the UN, they're on the Human Rights Commission. So it's
a bastion of anti-Semitism.
It's not so unusual.
Yeah.
Bastion of anti-Semitism, bastion of anti-Americanism.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that Lair's taken us in that direction, that was my next question I wanted to ask you. I've read several troubling articles. One was just a week or so ago in the Wall Street Journal. I meant to bring it with me today, but I must admit I forgot it. And then there was a revelation, well, in the announcement this week that the Presbyterians here in this country have voted to sell all of their assets, their stocks or whatever their holdings were in any companies that are doing business with Israel. And the article I saw in the Wall Street Journal, and I think I saw one, and I don't want to say where, but I think I've seen another one, basically of the same thing, that anti-Semitic tensions, shall we say, are on the rise in Europe. And evidently here in the United States with the Presbyterians, is there any fear in Israel that, for lack of a better word, that the public relations is going south here and in Europe?
In terms of America, this happened. It's happened with a couple of times that I think the votes have been close to divest
their assets.
And have been efforts.
It was close. It was a close.
College campuses.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, it was a close vote this time, too. It was like 304 to 300 to do that. But anyway, go ahead. For the Presbyterian Church.
I think that when it comes to the American public, Israel feels very secure. That on the whole, the American public is very much in Israel's corner. And that it really is a minority and a very vocal, very activist minority that starts up with things like this, like the boycotts and the divestments.
Abe,
Europe is a different story.
Abe, when I was younger, my family was Presbyterian, and our family left the Presbyterian Church because of they are so far left nowadays. It's unbelievable.
Look at their numbers. I don't think that they've grown nearly the same at the same rate.
As a matter of fact,
the other churches.
They were the first of the Protestant religions to go for gay marriage.
Over about the last 5 years, they've lost 30% of their followers. They're not growing. They're losing.
So what do they do? They become even more liberal.
Evidently, that seems to. Well, that's always the solution for
know,
the liberal,
Chris.
Isn't it? It's always a solution.
But
Abe, you were going to make a point about Europe.
I was going to say that the feeling about Europe, about anti-Semitism in Europe, is something different. In Europe, it is serious. In France, it's practically daily that there are attacks of one type or another, either vandalism or physical attacks against Jews. The people in France are, a lot of them are picking up, and I think it's a slow-motion move to Israel. for a very high number of people in France. Yeah. I think they're getting out of there. But the anti-Semitism rates, it's just become publicly acceptable to be anti-Semitic in France.
And once
you don't even have to be ashamed of your anti-Semitism, it's open season on the Jews.
And the thing about that kind of hate, Abe, is if all the Jews leave, where does that hatred go? Oh. It goes back and forth amongst themselves now. It doesn't go away just because the Jews left.
Well, if only it did, but unfortunately, I think it would just follow the Jews to Israel.
Oh, no, but I mean, in the countries of France, that hatred's going to stay there and it's going to fester amongst themselves.
I find that
that's what hate does.
I find that, to be honest with you, Abe, every bit as troubling as what's going on in some of the countries right around you, because it's too reminiscent of what happened in the 1930s.
Sure.
But I want to finish off the interview today with a question about Iran. We had Colonel Oliver North on last Tuesday. He was swinging through town on, he's got a brand new novel out called Counterfeit Lies. We talked a bit about Iran, and he made a bold prediction. He predicted that within a matter of weeks, there's going to be a big announcement, what I'm calling detente between the United States and Iran. He thinks there's going to be a nuclear deal. Now, the Orlando Sentinel wrote an article Saturday talking about how negotiators are putting a deal in writing. Is there a worry that this is actually happening?
I haven't seen any of that kind of news here, but that is the background. The big background worry is that the U.S. is going to turn around and actually make some kind of deal with Iran that's going to leave them with way too much nuclear capability.
Yeah, and given what's going on.
And boast about it.
And given, all the failures that the president has right now, he needs something to boast about. And this would be, in his mind, his pea-sized mind, it would be a great achievement. Abe, before I let you go, we have a caller on the line who'd like to ask you a question, so we'll make it the last question for Abe. Is that okay?
Hello?
Yes, Stan, go ahead.
This is Stan in Orlando, and my comment is I agree with Abe. The American people are staunchly behind Israel. That certainly includes me, and I'm not Jewish. But I question Obama's loyalty, and I think he owes Bibi Netanyahu an apology for Kerry's statement about a month ago comparing the apartheid hate regime in South Africa to Israel. I think that would be important to show support for Israel.
It would be a good measure, Stan. Thank you for your call.
Ain't gonna happen.
And Abe, you'll have the last thought.
That happened a couple of months ago.
We talked about it.
I think it was Kerry's more of a meandering misstatement than anything else. But the fact that the word was even on his lips is worrisome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Abe, you're in our prayers. Those three teenagers are in our prayers, and Israel is in our prayers tonight and every night. So thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Much appreciated.
And keep fighting, sir.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
All right. Absolutely. All right. That's our man, Abe Katzman, in Jerusalem. Something that you will not find on any other show is the in-depth knowledge that man can give us about the Middle East.
He's a true patriot for his nation and in a lot of ways for the United States, too.
Absolutely. He's a dual citizen. All right. When we come back, we'll be joined by our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, 407-774-8255, if you would like to join us like Stan did.
And you got us on a Monday afternoon, folks. A great start to your week. And I'm going to start this segment, the final segment of our show, by saying, I'm sorry. But it's gone. It's gone. What am I talking about? That icky spot on my elbow. This thing was driving me crazy. It itched. It was a bump. It wouldn't heal. I've been spraying Roxy Pacifics on it, and not just once a day, like four or five times a day. And I will say it took an entire 2 days to make it go away. This stuff is amazing. Oh, and I want to add something real quick here because people think it's just seawater, Roxy Pacifics. It's kelp water. Now, I'm in the ocean once a week at least. So I still have cuts, things like that, that don't heal any better than if I don't go to the ocean. But when you put the Roxy Pacifics on concentrated kelp water, that's all it is, too. It's totally natural. It cures almost every skin problem, scalp problem, eye problem, throat problem, you name it. You spray it on it, your skin drinks it up. The phone number is 619-654-4829. I'll give it to you again. Write it down. 619-654-4829. You will order it, and you will order more. All right, coming up right now, we have our executive producer, Nostradamus, who lives by his name. He could actually predict almost anything except what makes him money.
Nostradamus.
I predict that the United States is going to play soccer on Thursday.
Hopefully they'll do better than a tie.
Yeah.
How can they have a playoff game that ends in a tie? I mean, what kind of insane sport is that?
It's a feel-good sport.
It's a communist
sport.
It's not an American
sport, guys. It's not American.
It's a communist sport.
You can't have a winner. That's not right.
All right. Let's get back to business. And, Rick, we'll get to your phone call here in just a second, but there's some pretty serious business I want to get to. First of all, we have American citizens now being recruited for jihad.
Yeah, over the past few months, guys, as many as 15 young Somali American men from Minnesota have traveled to Syria to join radical groups trying to overthrow President Bashar Assad's regime. This is according to the FBI, and you probably know Minnesota has one of the highest concentrations of any state in the Union of Muslim citizens, or at least Muslim believers who are either American citizens or visitors. And 15 doesn't sound like a lot, except when you consider that federal officials say it is illegal for any American to independently travel overseas to fight in civil wars or armed conflicts against foreign government. But these guys are leaving.
Yeah.
And if they are called terrorists because of it, they say, so be it. We're happy with that.
What kind of job training is that? What kind of job they get when they come back?
Well, first of all, evidently one American who went over there to Syria actually became a suicide bomber and blew himself up in the conflict. And the problem that we have with this is they're traveling on American passports, which means it may be easy for them to, guess what, come home.
Sure.
And if they come home on a jihad, then what?
Sure.
This is the can of worms that we're dealing with here that the president seems to be totally oblivious to. And his Secretary of State's got his head up his yang.
Now, I mean, the FBI says that they are tracking these folks because they know who they are. But I don't know if I trust the FBI.
These are the ones who they know. How many are out there who they don't know who they are? This is the problem that we got. And we've got these, for lack of a better word, terrorist training camps right here in the United States. And basically they're recruitment centers as much as anything else. But they're recruiting people to fight in jihad, to go overseas, learn how to do it, and then come back here and perhaps do some, you know, dirty work here as well. And don't think it can happen, do you? Well, do you ever hear about the Boston bombers? Okay, that's essentially what they were. And don't think that they were lone wolves, that they didn't have help. They had all the help, evidently, that they needed, didn't they?
Now, guys, I do have a silver lining to this. If this many people are leaving Minnesota to go and fight for ISIS, they might not be back in time to vote for Al Franken's reelection.
So, okay.
We got that going on.
All right, I guess there is a silver lining.
He'll have
no
to go back
small
to stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as him in Congress.
All right. There's another troubling story, though, on the, let's just say, the other end of the United States, the southern end of the United States, Nostradamus. This one shocked me, although I probably shouldn't have been.
This story out of Houston, Texas, a South Texas cemetery located more than 75 miles from the U.S.-Mexican border, has uncovered unidentified illegal immigrants who died trying to get to the United States, buried in mass graves, some put in trash bags, others in no bags at all. They don't know exactly how many people they are. They performed 52 exhumations, but more than 52 people were buried in those spaces because the remains were commingled. They're not sure exactly how many people are, how many remains are in there. And this goes back as far as 2005.
Oh, so George Bush will get all the blame.
Well, there you go.
Well, this to me demonstrates the cruelty, if you will, of not having true border security. Because we don't have true border security, these people are basically enticed to come here for everything the United States has to offer, and many of them die in the process.
That's exactly what Zach Taylor said. He's chairman of the National Association of Former Border Patrol Officers. And he said,
The U.S. is responsible for foreign nationals taking extreme measures that risk their lives and the lives of their children.
All right. Hey, Nasser Dennis, stay with us. I only have a few minutes left, but I've got two phone callers. I want to get to them both, and I'll come back to you. Rick from Orlando, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
With the Middle East on fire, Africa in shambles, John Kerry announced his goal for his...
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. As Secretary of State.
Yeah, go ahead, tell everybody.
And that is to have the first transgendered ambassador.
Well,
thank God we've got him in there to do what needs to be done.
Well,
he might be transgendered. I'm not sure.
I was going to say that individual is the first lady. Oh, I didn't mean to say that.
Or Hillary.
For Michelle Obama's pet name for Hillary is?
Yes, Wildebeest.
Hildebeest.
I mean, Hildebeest, yes. Yeah. Hildebeest, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, there is no love lost between those two.
A grunting, snorting animal in Africa.
I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of Blood Feud by Ed Klein. And
hopefully.
Don't forget, he'll be on our show Thursday, and we're going to be giving copies away all week long. Nancy, thank you, Rick. Nancy from Orlando, or Nancy, flight attendant. Thank you for calling, Nancy.
A lot of people don't know this, but I was in the air industry in the 80s and 90s. I still am... They would bring these Somalians over on the Refugee Act from the Kennedys, and people don't know that. They need to research that. That's how they all got here. There's thousands and thousands of them here.
Yeah,
that's how they got here. And once the Somali, always the Somali. That's what I say.
Well, also, you know, we took a number of Iraqi refugees, and I'm sure we've gotten, you know, probably... Syrian refugees. I mean,
they have all their gear on. So, I mean, you know, they're going to stay true to their faith.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
All right. Nancy, thank you for being out there. We appreciate it. Nasser Dennis, we're coming back to you. Has the administration made any comments about actually either of the two stories that you just reported?
No, none that I've been able to determine. They may have said something that I didn't catch today, but apparently to the White House, neither of these stories is that big a deal.
Oh, they were too big concocting lies about how poor they all were as children.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe this drivel? I mean, Barack Obama, Michael Medved's done a great job of telling us about Barack Obama. He never spent a day in public school because he was going to the most elite private schools. I mean, and Michelle Obama came from a well-to-do, her father started out. He had to kind of work his way up, but she didn't have to.
And Hillary was broke when they got out of the office, but they have $12 million coming their way.
Oh, well, just from the book. They are 100 millionaires.
110.
Yeah.
109.
Guys, we know that he went to private school all his life, including Columbia. We don't know who paid for that education, though. His mother certainly didn't. She was not a wealthy woman.
Well, according to Medved, when the grandparents were taking care of him in Hawaii, the grandmother paid for it. She had a well-paying job. She was a bank executive, and evidently she made some pretty wise investments, too, because when she died, she left little Barry $800,000 worth of stock.
You guys are birthers.
Yeah. How do you like that? Old Barry Obama, one of the 1%.
Oh, but it's not his fault.
Yeah, right.
He rejected that. Well, no, he's made a ton, and he's going to make a lot more after he quits being prez.
All right. Hey, Nasser Dennis, real quickly, can you give us, other than Ed Klein, who we're going to have this week?
I can tell you that, you know who we're trying to line up for later this week? Scotty Neil Hughes from the Tea Party TV network, or the Tea Party radio network.
Yeah.
He's going to be on to talk about the primary tomorrow in Mississippi. She was out trolling the bayous down there. You could hear banjos playing in the background as she was
must have been
her way around
must
there.
Have been our friend
help support McKenna.
Yeah, must have been our friend Grant Malone.